Hi, readers! Welcome to Something Bookish, the podcast. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka your podcast mistress. See, I always have this intro in the bag and then something stupid happens and I'm distracted. And now I'm distracted by a ball that some kids are playing in my street. See, I'm recording this around 2 a.m. So I don't know why there should be a ball flying into my compound. It literally makes no sense at all. Why would they be playing at this time? Anywho, so that distracted me from the goodness I was going to give you. So, yeah. Before, I'm sure you, when you clicked on this episode, you were seeing it's an hour plus. Oh my goodness, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Now I just have to finish up the intro, okay? All right, so hi readers again. Welcome to the podcast. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chat. So think of this space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people who are very chill and cool and cultured, obviously. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? I feel like for that part, I should start using a more Nigerian greeting, like, Area, how's it going? Wagwan. You know, because like, it's like, if you see me outside, you're like, oh my God, Amin, how you doing? I mean, we're not screechy like that, I know, because I have met some of you before, and we are definitely not screechy. You guys are actually pretty cool, but I feel like we need to carve out a greeting of when we see, like, yo, sup sis. Yeah, it should be like, wow, I was trying to make this intro not too long so that you can properly enjoy the episode itself, but like, I feel like we need to sit down and discuss a greeting for when we meet each other. Sup sis. What about sup sis? Sup. Sup. Yeah, my age is showing there. I don't know. I would think of something. But we need to have like a greeting that we say outside and people don't know. You know, they are not part of. People that are not initiated will not know what we're talking about. We need like a cool greeting. All right. So, this is the 71st Jesus Christ, what did I just say? Okay, focus. This is the 71st episode of the Something Bookish podcast and the first episode of 2024. Yay! I'm so excited. And it's a book chat with a fellow reader. This chat is one of a kind because it goes on for so long and it took like the patience of God us to rein ourselves in, because there's so much to talk about. Have you noticed though that when you're chatting with fellow readers, you can keep going for hours and not know what's happening because there's just so much to talk about, and then all of a sudden we're all just smart and nobody's an introvert anymore and we just have like talking points. We're like, we're so cool and articulate. Yeah, I love chatting with fellow readers. It's like the best thing in the world. And you'll be able to tell why when you listen to this episode. I am chatting with Anita. She will introduce herself properly when you start listening to the chat. Just to wrap up this intro, because I don't want it to go too long. There was something I wanted to say. This is why I always make notes. Now I forgot what I wanted to say. Aha! Yeah, got it. TMI. Let that sink in. TMI. Too much information. That is a segment I would like to introduce to the podcast. For every episode, I will share a TMI. I don't know if I'm going to make it at the beginning of like the main gist of the episode or just before the closer. What do you think? I'm thinking like just before the closer, so that because it's TMI, I want people who don't have the patience to listen to the entire episode to have like gone, and then only like the most loyal of the most loyal, the 1% of the 1% is allowed to know my TMI. What do you think? Let me know, because these TMIs, they're gonna be TMIs. So let me know what you think. Now, without further ado, let's talk books, shall we?
Hello.
Hi, Emmy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you. Great. How are you?
I'm still optimizing sound. Has it started recording? Okay. Look at this. Okay, let me pause.
Cool.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing. I'm trying to check my energy levels. I hope I'm actually as cheerful as I should be. My mom has always told me that the best tip is to smile when you're recording, so that your voice doesn't sound too down. Okay.
That's actually a good one. Thank you. So,
testing. Welcome to the Something Bookish. Okay. All right. So we will start recording now. Hi, Anita. Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast.
Hi, Amen.
Okay. Yeah, that little pause was me drinking.
Oh, okay. So I was like, this is going longer than I
thought. It's a long pause.
Yeah, I was like, hello?
Yeah. This is actually, I like that you're my first interview for 2024, even though I've had an interview for this season, but it's the first interview that is going to log into 2024. And
oh, wow,
we haven't had a chat. We've only been chatting on Instagram via DMs. We haven't had like a proper chat.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to get to know you through this.
Yep, episode. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So I don't want to give, because normally in the intro, I would do an introduction, but I want to start doing less of that and let you introduce yourself more. Yeah?
Okay. Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself? Because I'll be introducing you as a bookstagrammer, but like outside of bookstagram, what do you do? When do you find the time for reading? And name and stuff with your handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Amin, for having me. And also, I didn't know that I was the first. I in my head, I was like, oh, I'm like number two. That's cool. Like, we're just happy to be here. So I was actually really geeked when you asked me, because at first, when you messaged me, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, I was just like, I'm such a like funny, anxious person. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, what's happened? Like, what's happened on Bookstagram? Did I post something that had like some weird typo and it's low-key like a slur and people are coming for me? I was like, I don't know. My so one of the things about me is I have a very wild imagination, which obviously ties into reading. So my brain can go from 0 to 100 like in that span of 5 seconds. When I read your message, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna swear, but I was like, what have I done now? So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm not gonna make. I'll talk about me in a second, but like obviously, I love your page. I love everything that you do. I like I said, I love the Something Bookish Challenge. I finished all 24 prompts somehow.
Damn.
I don't know how I did, but I did. I nearly didn't, but I did. So I love everything that you do. So yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm Anita. Every time people meet me in person, I always say I hate my username. I hate books in a hand. I would not choose. I don't know what I would choose today if I was to,
It's a really good day.
restart books.
Books in her hand. Come on. I mean, it's very
But
visual.
it is very visual. So yes, but I don't know. It just, and also my brother teases me about it a lot. So like he'll like my so I w one of the things about me is I'm number six of six kids. So my middle brother
Oh, you're
will like be like,
the
I'm the baby. I'm the baby.
baby.
But he'll be like, oh, I'm books in his hands, blah blah blah. And he's like, I'm like, mate, just leave me alone. So one of the things you should know about me is I low-key hate my username, but I don't know what else I would pick. Like I don't even know why I picked that, to be honest. I think someone so I so the genesis of why I started a Bookstagram was I started a book club at my old job, and someone, I can't remember, one of the guys who attended was like, oh, you seem to know like a lot of like different books and book recommendations. You should do this on Instagram. And I was like, oh, actually, that's never really occurred to me before. So it wasn't, I'd seen other like book influencers, but they were like huge. So I was like, oh, it's not something that I can start doing. I didn't know that there was like a space for like, if you have like a few hundred followers, blah blah blah. I didn't know all that. Like I thought like you had to, you needed 10K and up to really, gain traction or have people replying to you. I didn't know about the community side of it, I don't think. So that's why I started in 2019, pre-pandemic, I started. I wasn't very consistent, but I did, I think in March 2019. And I would post on and off, on and off. One of the first people that I remember following is Reads and Reveries. I and that's the other, I talk about people with their usernames because I always forget the real names, but she was like one of the first people I followed, loved her page. So I posted on and off, and then I didn't post for like a year, and then I randomly came back some point in 2020 or 2021 even. And then I started to be a bit more consistent about it, got more into like the community side of it, which is actually the side of it that I love the most, and that's what's like kept me on there all these years. So that's how Bookstagram got started. But as far as reading, so I'm Nigerian. I was born in Nigeria, but I moved to the UK when I was really no I why am I mixing up my own life story? I was born in the UK. I was born in the UK, but I lived in Nigeria for a couple of years when I was really young. So I remember my sister when she was in secondary school, she started borrowing Mills and Boon romances. So like the Harlequin romances, like with the, the cringy covers and things like that. Like, so that is how I got into reading with really somewhat inappropriate material. So I was seven or 8 years old. And when my sister would like leave a book, she's finished it, I would go sneak it and, take it to my little corner of the house. Because obviously, the other thing about like my life is like our house was always like full of people. So there was always like minimum 10 to 12 people. So I didn't have my own room. So anyway, I'll say that I didn't have my own room. So I'd always like find a little corner to read these really inappropriate books that my mom would have shouted on me if she saw me reading. So that's how I got into reading. So it's funny that romance is still the genre that like resonates with me the most, like even now. And I think it's because it was really why I started reading in the first place. So I'm weird. Like I started reading really inappropriate stuff first, and then I was like, oh, I would like to read like the C.S. Lewis books, the Lewis Carroll books, the, even things like Anne Frank. Like I read those later on. So my reading journey was basically consisting of whatever my siblings would read and then dump. That was how I got into reading, basically. And as far as how do I find time to read now, so I'm a project manager. I work at a consultancy. I live in Essex with my family. So I work in London, but I live in Essex. So I live by the seaside. So sometimes in my stories, you'll always see like beach things, beach walk, blah blah blah. I literally live walking distance away from the sea. So how do I find time to read? My current job is very good in terms of like work-life balance. My old one was horrendous. I would work sometimes 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'd work weekends. So this in this job where I, you know, if I say I'm going to finish at 4, like today, I said I'm going to finish at 4, I'm done by just before 4. I'm like wrapping up, I'm like logging off and stuff like that, checking what's going on tomorrow. So I read a lot around my work. I used to be someone who would be like, I only like physical books, I like the smell of physical books, blah, blah, blah. But I'm also someone that once I have like kind of an addictive personality. So once I get into a trend, I go hard. Like, I said, oh, I don't really like audiobooks. One day I started doing audiobooks, and then I was obsessed. And I was like, right, I'm gonna always have an audiobook going. I'm always gonna have some book that I can pick up, whether it's on Everand, hate that name, or
I hate it too so much.
it's a stupid name. I'm sorry to them if they listen to this. I'm sorry, but I would love an explanation because Scribd, I
Was
just
the
got around to that.
rationale?
I want to know because also what does Everand
It
mean?
has
Like,
no meaning that I can think of. They didn't
it's
even
like,
share anything.
no, they just said, oh, we're changing, and that's it. And it's very rude of them to not consult and
Yep.
ask,
Very
you
rude.
know, what do we think? Yeah, because I have to have this, like, I still type in, like, I still look for Scribd, and I'm like, oh, it's Everand now. So
Everand. Ugh.
it's not a name that rolls off the tongue. So kind of back to what I was saying. So I used to be someone who was like physical copies only. So I would read on the train, going into work, back when it was like fully, you know, working in the office, or you know, reading at home if I have a moment, reading primarily on the weekends, reading, you know, blah, 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 like, so on, only reading physical copies. And then kind of early last year, when I started going on more walks around my area and just kind of being more active, kind of wanting to be outside more, I got into audiobooks. And I think the first audiobook that I was obsessed with, actually not last year, ending of the year before, was a Taylor Jenkins Reid, One True Loves. I think that was the first one. Because I think they had like, I feel I want to say, no, they didn't have multiple actors, but they had my favorite audiobook narrator. What's her name? I forgot her name.
Julia
She wrote,
Whelan. Julia Whelan.
yes. So she, to be honest, she is actually, if someone's like, I don't like audiobooks, I think one of the things you can do is recommend a book that's narrated by her, because I was like, whoa, like it's like a movie in my head. Like I was so like, I didn't know audiobooks could be like that.
Her range
So
is
I think
incredible. Her range is just out of
incredible.
this world.
Incredible. Like she could narrate a recipe and you would be hooked. Like she's so ridiculously talented. So I think I read that book. I did the audiobook of that towards the end of upper last year. And I was hooked. So that's how I got into audiobooks. So a big part of my reading now is I'm going to go for a walk in the morning before I log on at 9, or before, or on my way walking into the office. I'm going to do an audiobook. I'm always going to have an audiobook that I can just pick up and read. And I think the whole Spotify thing where you can read like an audiobook or two a month, that's helped as well, because then it's like you don't have to buy so many audiobooks. Like you don't have to buy whatever's not on Everand or not on Libro FM. So already I've mentioned like three platforms. I love audiobooks. So that's a big part of my reading. And then last year, like I said, I'm a trends type of person. Like I'll resist a trend, and then
Yeah.
when I fall, it will be crazy. So I got into the Kindle hype last year. I'm not gonna lie to you, I didn't see the whole purpose of the Kindle app, for the actual Kindle, the physical Kindle product, for a long time, because I was like, well, you can get the Kindle app on your phone. You don't need to buy it. I don't see what the hype is, blah, blah, blah. I got the Paperwhite last year. And let me tell you, it transformed my life, because I was like, it's all the basic things that people say. It's so light. You can have as many books as you want on it. You can, you know, read at night without doing too much damage to your eyes, blah, blah, blah. So I got that, and then I also got something that I think I talked about a little bit on my Instagram, which is like, you know, the whole hands-free reading
Yeah.
thing, where like, so I got that. So that transformed everything. So I read across formats now, and it's basically like audiobooks, going on walks, audiobooks, I'm cleaning, I'm cooking, I'm going for a drive, I'm driving somewhere, physical books. I have time in the evenings or on the weekends. My Kindle, if there's something I'm using that a little bit less at the moment because I'm trying to read physical art, but it's like I'm trying to read something light before bedtime. So I read, I say to people, I read the way most people watch TV. And I feel like we low-key touched on it in your comment section when we talked about like the whole backlash against readers and things like that. Like, how do you find the time? How do you find the time? It's like, mate, you find the time for 8 hours of TV.
Yes,
You
like if
found
you can find the time to watch football for 90 minutes, you can find the time to read. It's not that hard. They watch the football for 90 minutes and then they also have time for highlights. And then they also have time to text their friends about the match that they're watching. So like it accumulates.
So it's the same thing. Those same hours is the same hours I would use, a couple years ago, when you watch Stranger Things, you watch all 8 episodes in an evening slash morning on a Friday night. Like, it's really not a crazy concept, but I don't I'm always fascinated by people's like reactions to it. Like, how do like the distrust and like the so how many hours, so how many books, so what kinds of books are you reading? And then it's almost like a judging, oh, you're only reading romance, you're only reading this, oh, you read a short story collection, you read a novella. It's like it's not coming for a lot of people, not everyone, for a lot of people, especially the people on Twitter last week. It's not coming from a, oh, how do you do that type of, it's more so like, I'm going to prove that you're not really doing that, or you're like lying.
See,
And it's like, why?
that's actually why I was thinking it's really all just distractions. You know how they say, I don't know if it was Toni Morrison who said it, I can't remember who said it, but there's one of the great writers who said something about how racism is just a way to distract you from your focus in life. You have to keep proving yourself. And I think these people, this is all they're doing. They're distracting you from proper reading time because they don't actually care if you bring evidence on how you've been reading. Because every single year, I'm always starting a thread on books I've read on Twitter, and I literally update that thread whenever I finish a book, so that even me, I can gauge how long it took for me to start reading a book and when I finished reading the book. But the thing is, I never get that kind of vitriol on my page. So maybe I've curated my page to the point that people I follow have sense, and I don't get that kind of but I don't have time wasters on my page. Like you're a reader or you're not a reader. If you want to read, the what's it called? The resource is there for you. We can't be
They
wasting
make
our
it
times with these people. And you know, with Elon Musk
no.
monetizing the amount of engagement you get, I think it's making more people go crazy on being contrarian or being controversial.
Because no, you're I think you're completely right, because like you said, it's there. If you want books, they're there. Like the same way I bought a book, the same way I downloaded something off Kindle or whatever, or however you get your books, is the same way you can do it. I'm not special. I'm not special. I'm not, I'm not working at HarperCollins myself. I'm not an author myself. So it's like
I
you said,
mean, to
like
be
you
fair, people working at HarperCollins are not reading as much as we are.
Right, true. That's actually, no, that's very true. Like my friend in publishing, I'm like, how many books are you reading? She's like, one over the last couple of weeks. So that's very true. But it's like, it's not like, and it's also not a competition. I think the other thing as well, I saw something the other day about how, like, why are people so unhappy these days? Because I remember even on Twitter, there was like a year and a half ago, there was a lady that posted a thread and she said something about, she described her like perfect afternoon. She sits with her husband on her porch and like they have like just a really nice time. She's like, I'm so 100% happy in this space. And I saw that. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. But someone else or a lot of people saw that and was like, oh, you think you're better than me, blah, blah, blah. Like
Oh
they
my
took it as like,
God.
do you know what I mean? A very innocuous statement of she's saying, this is what I do, this is my happiness. Someone else would take that and like, oh, so because I'm not doing that, blah blah blah, like, what are you trying? So when I saw something about like why are people so unhappy, I think sometimes the fact that we are exposed to people's lives in the detail that we are, and to the extent that we are, sometimes, like, if you're not happy within yourself, it can really start to build up. Like, there's no reason why that girl saying, "Oh, I finished first book of the year, done," that should have, you know.
Like, why would that make people go crazy?
I don't know. And they were like making fun.
You know
they're
what?
Like,
you know what I think we need to start doing. I feel like the fast readers and the avid readers need to actually start shaming people who are slow in reading or people who don't read. Maybe we need to do our own back. No, because it's becoming too much. This thing happens every year. There's this girl, another reader I follow on Twitter, Azioma. She posted that she read 122 books last year. Yeah, she posted a wrap up. And this girl also has a thread of books I read. So you've been following like
so it's right
one,
there.
Two, three, four. Yeah. And then she posted, I read 122. And people were going crazy. Don't you have work?
Oh.
How are you doing this?
And I'm
like, first of all, how is it paining you? Like, she has shown her receipts that I read all these books. Like, it's not like if I can't do it, then I'm going to bring you down to my level of people who can do it. And I'm like, why? Like, why do you need to do that?
I don't get it.
She's posting that, and I was like, I feel like if I post mine of maybe 213. Like,
that's gonna be a problem.
No, because first of all, their reactions don't even matter to me. I'm posting for accountability, and the people who need to, maybe there are people who are like book siblings like me. Maybe they are like in my book family, so they go through my thread and they're like, okay, if she liked the book, maybe I'll like it too. So it's like their way of curating their own reading. I don't even think about the people who are wasting. They are not reading.
No,
obviously, no. We caught one person today. Just. By the way, I should share the story. So there's this artist, Amrenike. She shared that she just finished her fourth book of the year. Yeah, and people were like, "Of the year? Which year? This year? Because it's like the seventh day of the year." Yeah, and then there was someone who came on and he was like, "I have been reading since the day I was born, and I have a bookstore, and I know this person is lying." But you know what he did?
Oh.
He spelt lying as L-I-E-I-N-G.
And
people
no.
were like, well, if you've been reading since the day you were born, you will know how to spell lying.
That is embarrassing. Not a whole scholar out here.
I was screaming when I saw that comment. But yeah.
That's funny. That
people
is hilarious.
People are wilding at the beginning of I don't know what it is. I think this is the first time I'm noticing people dumping on readers like this. Normally it's at the end of the year with wrap ups.
Yeah.
Like, beginning of the year. Wow, it's like it's giving premeditated.
Listen, you know what? I even had to low key not talk about it at work because there was one hater at work. I don't even know why I even talked about like what I do in my spare time because listen, my philosophy at work is like I'm here to do my job. I'm not here to be like if you will meet friends at work sometimes and you know who those people are, but generally like those people are not your friends. So I don't even know how I opened my big mouth to mention it. I think it was like in July or something. I had already read like over 100 books and I just said, oh, you know, he was like, I don't know how it came up, but I said that. And this person, I saw their face like what? Like so, and not even just like puzzled, like, wow, that's a lot of books, but like almost offended, like, oh, I've only read four books. I was like, okay, like what do you want me to
like what like, do you want me great. To do about that, sir?
You want me to feel bad? Like, you and me when
we're not the same.
We're not the same. I don't want to say it like that, but like you're doing your, you live your life, I live mine. I don't even know you. I'm only like met you like last week. Why are you putting me and you in a competition and I'm winning?
We're not the same level, man.
We're not the same. And it's like, and it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's like, if what's hurting you is that you want to read more, then just read more.
Simple.
It's really, do you know what I mean? Like, I see people watching Succession.
Actually, we should actually make, I'm going to make that the quote of this episode. If what is hurting you is to read more, then just, oh my God, wow.
Literally.
Hallelujah.
No, but it's such a basic thing because like, so I've been seeing people talking about like Succession, it's such a great show, I'm not going to go bashing the people that watch it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look for it and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch it. It's such a simple concept. Like, if I want something, then I will go and make it happen.
Boom.
You don't need
Easy peasy.
to eat is so easy. You don't need to like, oh, I've only read four. Like, I saw his face, like he looks like stricken. He was like, oh, I've only read four books this year. I'm like, that's great. Like, I literally said, that's great. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not gonna say sorry.
Hey.
No, that's your life. You do what you need to do. Listen, the thing is, in life, if especially as adults, the older we get, if something is important to you will make time for it. You will make,
Exactly.
however bizarre an activity it is, however time consuming it is, however costly it is, if something is important to you will find a way to do it. So don't come and, come with aggression
Yeah,
because, or
and
maybe
dump
you
your
wanted
issues
to
on
read.
me.
Yeah, or maybe you're just not happy that day. Maybe you haven't eaten. Because I feel like some of these people, they log on. No, but honestly, they log on to Twitter first thing in the morning. You haven't eaten, you haven't prayed, you haven't brushed your teeth, you haven't done anything, you haven't, stretched even. And then you log on, you're hungry, you haven't, like, there's still like dirt in your eyes, like there's still flakes in your eyes, there's saliva marks on your face. And you just see that one tweet and it's like, oh, that's gonna set you off for the day. Like, I think the people that do that really need to sit down and dissect why that is. Like,
They
why does
do.
someone else's
They
happiness
do. But they
make you
won't.
upset? No, they
They
won't.
do, but they won't. That's the
They
sad part. See,
won't.
Anita, we're giving these people too much airtime. We're giving them way too much airtime. Okay. So back to you. You are the focus of this interview. So back to you. Oh God. This can actually take a whole day.
No, it literally, you could do a series on this. Like,
Yeah.
you could
Because
literally do
like
a series
why?
on
What
why
is
won't they,
the
you could call it Why Won't They Read. You
reason?
literally could call it Why Won't They Read,
I'm
because
going
I
to
don't
write that
understand what's,
down.
no,
Write
seriously,
that
do like
down.
a series, and let's maybe by the end of the year we will have figured it out and we can
Maybe.
present them with an action plan,
Hopefully.
which is
Hopefully.
go and read, log off
Oh
Twitter, put your phone down, go and read. It just
my
doesn't make
goodness.
any sense. Anyway, sorry,
It
yes,
doesn't. Okay.
I will
So
stop
back to
derailing.
you. Back to you.
Yep.
So, you've already now answered like one of the questions I had about what genre you gravitate to, and it's mostly romance, but you do have a lot of fantasy as well. So,
I do.
like, aside romance, what other genre do you gravitate towards? Like, what pulls you to other types of fiction? Because I do know you're a fiction girly.
I am, and yes, no, I am. I do you know what? I feel like my reading is like, I want to say it's like 40% romance and like 60% lots of other things. The only thing I don't do enough is nonfiction.
Yeah.
I want to, I think it was one of my goals to like get into that a bit more this year, because I have like not a ridiculous amount, but I have a couple of like nonfiction books that are just on my shelf staring at me day in, day out. And I said to myself, I think I said this to Becca on Instagram. I said, like, if I don't read them this year, I'm just gonna toss them, gift them to other people, because there's no point. Like, year in, year out, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. 2022, 2023, 20. So yeah. But fantasy, definitely. I'm a nerd. That's the simplest way to explain it. Like,
Aren't we
when I
all
think,
though, book
I
people?
we
Aren't
are.
we all?
We all are in varying degrees, but I feel like I'm really at like the extreme end, because I love, so one of my, when you ask me like what's a good cozy weekend, like I think like rewatching Lord of the Rings, the original, the trilogy, that's one of my core favorite movies. Like, you can put it on right now. Sorry, you can put it on right now, and even though I need to be in bed by like 10, I'll be like, yep, let's go for it, let's do as much of it as we can. So Lord of the Rings is one that I tried to watch a lot when I was younger, but I would always fall asleep. And then randomly a couple of years ago, I had like a really quiet Friday at work, so I was like, oh, let me just put something on, I'm gonna be done with like my main tasks at kind of like 2. And I put it on and I was like, I'm just gonna work and this will be on in the background. But tell me why I put my laptop to the side and then I went over to like sit down and fully watch the whole thing. So this was a couple years ago. But before that, fantasy is was a big part of my life because, again, with the whole media consumption at a young age, things that I shouldn't have consumed.
Yeah.
I vividly remember watching like Charmed with my sisters. I watched Angel. I watched Buffy. So I like stuff like that. I like that whole, you know, unrealistic fairies, powers, vampires. Like I love stuff like that. And I mentioned C.S. Lewis before. That was one of my favorite childhood authors. And the movies, the movies that they're going to be rebooting soon, like they're rebooting everything else. I love that as well. So fantasy is a real like comfort genre for me. Like it's just it I don't know. It just does something to me, like well-written fantasy. And that again kind of linked to one of my reading goals for the year is to read more N.K. Jemisin, Shannon Chakraborty, like those types of people I want to read, because I feel like when I read them they're going to become like my whole new personality. So fantasy is huge for me. Literary fiction, absolutely. And for me, literary fiction has been a big part of, what's the word, of feeling seen. In just in general, honestly. I think that I talk about Homegoing by Yaa Gyasi a lot on my page. And I still, even though I've read a lot, I still maintain that that is my favorite book. And the people are like, how can you say that, blah, 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 you've read, you know, so many. No, like, because to me, when I read that book for the first time, what, 4 or 5 years ago, I felt like my mind was blown, because up until that point, I hadn't read a lot of African authored fiction in particular. I hadn't, because you know, when you grow up in the UK, unfortunately, when they think about great literary fiction, or when they think about great literature, period, Gregory Peck, who else?
The Whites, mostly. The Whites.
The Whites. Exclusively. They might allow a tiny bit of, what's it? I'm so bad with names. I read Things Fall Apart only because I had a Nigerian.
Oh, Achebe. I'm actually tired of seeing Achebe's name in this. Like,
I think he's tired as well.
Maybe it's because I did English literature, so I'm kind of tired of the greats, both black and white. I'm like so exhausted.
I feel
seeing
you.
Their names.
I feel you. So Chinua Achebe was the only author of color, I think, in general, that I read throughout 5 years of secondary school. Other than that, Jane Eyre, which I love. Don't get me wrong, I do love.
I mean, I do
I
like
love
Jane
Eyre.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's some that's like, too stuck.
right, exactly. So when you read, all I saw for the longest time, like when you talk about great literature, all I'm thinking Shakespeare, blah blah blah, Byron, this, that, that, like all very similar from very homogenous backgrounds.
Wait, what did you
and
study
none
in
of
uni?
Them I studied law.
So you're like a lawyer.
Yeah, well, I nearly
Can I commit
qualified.
Crimes though? Can I commit any crime? Like,
well,
do you have my back?
Yes. Well, we will discuss the particulars, but broadly yes, you're fine with me. I will find a way to get you out of anything. I specialize in like human rights law, immigration law, and
noted
family law. So
noted.
criminal law was weirdly enough, it was my favorite module. It was my favorite part of law. But a female lawyer that I worked with said that, you know, if you become a barrister, which was what I was on the track to become, if you're a female lawyer, they will typically give you cases for men who are sex offenders. They will typically give you cases like that because in
Come
the
on.
Judge's eyes, it's like, look, he's being represented by a female lawyer.
Wow.
How bad can he be? It's a disgusting sentiment, but she
wow,
was like,
wow, wow.
This is something that I represent rapists, people that do really heinous stuff like that. So I think that scared me off criminal law, but it was the most interesting part of law for me. And I loved it. Low key, in another life, that was what I did. Like, so yeah. But I didn't, sorry, I don't even
I'm
remember.
so
I
straight.
see how
I'm so
I
straight.
talk.
Sorry. No, no, no. It's actually how we talk, because like the episode is just it's going where we want it to go. Yeah. There's no set. There's no set plot.
Good.
We're going.
Good.
It's we're doing literary fiction, basically.
Yeah. But okay, so talking so Homegoing was, I mean, that book, even now talking to you about it, just mentioning it, I have chill. Because yeah, because it really shifted something in me, and it was like, I need to read more stuff like this. I need to read more stuff like this ASAP. Because before that, like, obviously, yeah, like I told you, like, I'd read like a lot of romance, and the few literary fiction that I've read or would be more stuff like, I don't like the term, but like chick lit type, stories with a dash of romance, but kind of centered on kind of other topics, and they were all written by predominantly white authors. So Homegoing was the first time that I had, in my adulthood anyway, because like I said, obviously I read Achebe in school.
Yeah.
But reading something in school and reading it because you want to is
it's
not
not
the
the
same
same.
thing. It's not, because you dissect everything and you basically tear the book apart to gain your grade. So it's not quite the same thing. Although I read more of his stuff afterwards and I really did like it. So Homegoing was like the first, I don't even know why I picked it up. I can't tell you for certain
guess
why
it's
I picked
felt
it up. But
like home a little bit.
Yeah, and it just, I didn't know the author. She was super young when she published. I want to say she was like 25, 26, maybe even slightly younger. So I didn't know her. I didn't know anyone who had read it. I think I might have seen it on Goodreads, like, you know, when they say things like, oh, you know, newly published, blah, 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 you should read this, blah, blah, blah. So I did. And when I tell you, I was like I said, I was blown away. I was like, what, books like this actually exist? Like, what the hell have I been doing? Like, I need to read more of this. So that book for me made me way, 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 way more interested in African fiction in particular. And that journey since that book, that has only grown. And that's why I said, like, I love the challenge that you did last year, because, like, you know, reading Western African authors, East African authors, because I'm Nigerian, I will always gravitate towards Western African fiction naturally. But I found I love East African authors. Do you know what I mean?
They do have that thing. They do.
They do. They have something special about the way that they talk and the way they speak about things and the way they speak about issues, that it's similar to what we understand, but it's also got like a different something to it. So I that's, I think that's me. I think romance is the biggest one. It's the comforting, easy, it's like home. But fantasy, literary fiction, even last year I surprised myself with, like, I like, you know, a bit of horror. I don't read as much thriller. I guess, oh gosh, I'm kind of, I don't want to answer a future question, but I guess I did finish a thriller recently, which we can talk about later on. But
I'm glad we can talk about it. I'm actually glad we can talk about it now.
Yeah,
I mean, if you'd like me to push the episode when I'm publishing it, I would do that just so we can talk about
No, no, no. Do you know what? No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine to keep it as is. Because I've talked about it now with a number of people in the DMs, so I don't think anyone's gonna be surprised when I do publish a review about it. So,
right.
But yeah, so I think like I do try in little pockets to like read stuff that's way different, like translated fiction. Trying to read more of that. Have loved the stuff that I read in that space.
I do love translated fiction.
I really do, and when you find one that's really good, it's somewhat like mine. It's quite similar to Homegoing, because it's like it opens up a whole different world to you. What I want to do more of this year, though, as far as translated fiction, is read more fiction that has been translated from the Arabic language. It's that language is so beautiful to me, and I'm gonna get a little bit dark for a second, but like I kind of hate state that I have found how beautiful it is through the words of grieving Palestinian people. I do you know what I mean? Like, yes, I'm happy that I now have an appreciation for how they speak and how they convey emotion, but I hate that I've had to do that through
what is happening. Yeah.
Through what's happening and through the tragedy and through all the awful stuff that's happening. So just the way that they speak about love, and I think I was speaking to someone about this on Saturday, like, you know, on Saturday or Friday, I can't remember, but like, you know, the English language is so
inadequate.
It's so inadequate. Like, yeah. I love you. I miss you. I love you. I missed you. Where are you going? Good morning. Whereas, you know, I saw something about, and by the way, anyone who speaks the Arabic language, if I'm about to butcher what I'm about to say that I heard, please forgive me. But like the way that they say good morning, it has like a loaded meaning behind it. It's like a wish. It's like, do you know what I mean? There's depth to it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, with the English language, like, oh, good morning, where are you going? Okay, see you, bye. Like, it's like, it's not quite the same. So, like I said, I hate that I discovered how rich that language can be through tragedy, and which is why I think, like, reading diversely should be, it shouldn't even be a goal at this point. It should just be the way you read. It should just be
it should just
what
be
you
the
do.
Way it is. Like, it should be just how you read. There's
exactly.
No other way.
Mm-hmm. There's no other way. And I feel like if you're someone that you say you love books, and obviously we're all drawn to, like, there's certain things that we're drawn to, there's certain things that are comforting, there's a reason why I keep going back to the romance genre, there's a reason why I keep going back to the fantasy genre, there's a reason why I love West African fiction, because it's like, oh, it's like home, it's like you're reading a little bit of home. But I feel like you should always be pushing yourself to try new things, because you don't know what you're missing. And
sure.
I feel like
sure.
I feel like it's almost a sad way to look at it, but life is so short. Like, why do I want to read the same book in different fonts or different, you know, cover designs over and over and over and over again? So that's why, although I know that there are certain things I enjoy, like, I'm always going to push myself to read stuff that, you know, wouldn't necessarily jump out at me or wouldn't necessarily be like my go-to. So like I said last year, like, I started reading horror. I'm like, oh, I'm a scaredy cat, but I'm gonna read, like, I know this is gonna make me scared, but I'm gonna read it. And I really appreciated the it was only like 4 or 5, it's not a crazy amount, that I read last year, and I was like, oh, I have an appreciation for this genre, because how do you get people scared from your words? Like, that's, do you know what I mean? Like, that's quite an impressive thing to do. How do you set that tone and set that atmosphere where, you know, someone is reading this book that they can put down at any moment? They don't have to keep reading. It's not like when you're watching something and you're just like, oh, okay, it's in front of me. But how do you get someone to be scared? How do you create that sort
magic.
Of atmosphere? Right, it's magical to me. So I feel like this isn't even what I've kind of deviated from what you asked me, but like, I will always try to, like, expand my reading horizons. I will always, like, and I know, like, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't want to gamify my reading anymore, which I get that, you know, if you're feeling like, you know, I don't want to challenge myself to do this, I just want to read, that's fair. But I feel like the space that I'm in, I'm going to be 30 this year, which is crazy to me. I know. I still feel like a baby, and in some ways I am. But
personally,
like,
I feel like I peaked at the age of 21. So any other number that comes after is like, okay, cool.
Right. I feel like I peaked more at like 25. And I feel like we all kind of, because of the pandemic, whatever age you were pre-pandemic, that's kind of the age you tend to feel like today. So anyway. I wanna travel. I really wanna travel with my books. I wanna travel through my books. So reading across cultures, reading across genres is super important to me. And I was talking to someone the other day about, like, you know, reading the classics, so to speak. So kind of what we talked about before, the classics as we know them tend to be defined by the whites.
Yes.
I think there's something I've seen in the last few years where, like, you know, people of color in general are defining this is a classic to me. Because to me, Homegoing is a classic. To me, it's like, what you've not read it, like, what you need to fix that. To me, that's a classic. And obviously, there are, you know, there are authors that we think about in that way really naturally, the James Baldwins, the Chinua Achebe. But like, I love that there are also newer works that we can add to that collection of, you know, in my head, this is a classic, or I see this as a classic. I see this as a book that everyone should read at least once in their lifetime. So I want to do more of that as well. But like I said, like, I wanted to be diverse. I don't want to read any more Gregory Peck's or Jane Austen's for now. I am good. We have had, we get their perspective all the time. We get their perspective loud and clear all through history. I don't want to hear about any more dysfunctional white men or you know, I don't want to hear any more about that. Like, I'm good. I think we've all had a lot of that, so that's good.
I think I'm actually trying to read, I know this may come as a shocker to a lot of people, but I haven't read any Octavia Butler yet.
Really?
I know.
That is a surprise.
I'm going to read one this year. Also, I haven't read any Morrison, believe it or not. I haven't read
any. I mean, I say that I've only read like one or two myself, but
I haven't read any. And the problem is, the more people try to get me to read Morrison, the more I push back. So I haven't had a lot of people recommending Butler to me. So I think that's where I'm going to start from. I'm going to pick one this year and read it.
And do you know which one you want to start with?
Speculative fiction. Yeah. I'm thinking Parable.
Okay.
I'm going to start with that one, I think, because I already have that one on hold at the library. So I'm going to start with that one. And I haven't had a lot of people recommend it to me. So maybe that's why I'm leaning towards it. But like, the Morrison is like, you have to read it, you have to. But like, why do I have to? Is he a must? Are they paying?
Right. Listen, it's so funny we're talking about this. And I was literally saying this. I was having a very similar conversation with someone else about, you know, the books that you must read. Like, how have you, like I said, like, I've not read any James Baldwin. I've not read Giovanni's Room. I've not read any of it. And I know to some people that's like, oh my God, but that's like a, you know, that's practically blasphemy. Listen, we also have to like, just give each other space to like,
yes, and give me time.
In our own time. Give me time. Like, I've not read it today, but give me like a year or so.
I will eventually get to it. Like,
I will eventually get to it. It's not going anywhere.
Except if we, I mean, not to be morbid, but except if we die. But right. I already have a plan. Right.
God
that.
Willing, we'll like, read
as
it.
A ghost, God willing. I know I'll be not reading up on books that are still on my TBR. Because technically, you can't finish the amount of books on your TBR. Technically.
No, and that's like, if you count it, isn't it,
you actually cannot finish. So
that is actually
but
very,
I do have a plan with the deities to give me some time after I die to like wrap up the stuff I still need to read.
At least a few years.
Yeah. Like, a few years. Let me catch up on stuff.
I don't have to log on to any Zoom call or team in the morning. So
then you would actually have all the time in the world to actually read. So.
Exactly. And haunt some annoying people, but mostly to read.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, no, that's a really, it's a really good conversation, actually, so, yeah.
Okay. All right. I feel like this is the time where we go into the books that I told you to prepare, because I said you needed to have 5 books that you'd like to recommend and 1 book you didn't enjoy. So, this is the time to go into that, so that, you know, if I have any, like, for any other questions, I'm going to ask that after you've dropped your recommendations. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So you have the floor.
Okay. Right. So when I tried thinking about this last night, and I wrote down 10 instead of 5. But I will. Okay. So I'm gonna pick from ones I've read really recently. Or I'm gonna try to anyway. I'm struggling. Like, even though I read it almost a year ago, I feel like The Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois was almost like a Homegoing part 2 for me.
Okay.
In the sense that
can
I
actually
couldn't
see
stop
that.
thinking about it. Yeah, and they're very similar, but it's so funny when before I read the love songs, I was like, I feel like this is going to be like a homegoing extended, and it kind of was. It kind of was in the sense that where homegoing was like, it was the pace was a lot faster. Love songs, obviously, it's huge. It's like well over 700 pages or something like that. So I feel like I can't not recommend that. I just loved it. I buddy read it with Nikita from Browning with a Book, and I love that I did that because I don't I'm a big fan of buddy reading because I feel like there's some books that I would not have read
I
any other
highly
way.
recommend Body Reads.
Highly recommend because the love songs, I think I would have just looked at it on my shelf. Oh my God, it's massive, it's massive, it's massive. I'm not going to do it. But reading it with someone, and I read it almost took me almost 2 months to read it. So I took my time with it, did the audiobook alongside the physical one, because obviously the physical one's massive, and I loved it. So I have to definitely that one. I think I didn't, I it didn't make the cut because I rated it, I think I rated it a 4.5 star, but Dust Child. I loved because that again is that thing of like fiction teaching you something that you would never have thought about, you would never have known, and the way that the author gives a voice to a story that is so overlooked in history, is so overlooked just in general. You just don't hear as much. You don't hear from the child, from the children of people that went and fought in wars and looked away from them without a backward glance, walked away from them without a backward glance. I love that she gave this perspective a voice because it, and also it was just a well-written story. She always, I mean, she always writes amazing stories. So Dust Child, definitely.
I know it's tough. I know.
Looking, I think A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khaled Hosseini. I read that with my workbook club November or something like that, and I think I read The
Wow, you made
Kiterunner
your work
ages
people read
ago.
this.
Yep,
Okay,
I
brave.
started a new so I started a new job and I started a new book. So basically books follow me everywhere it goes. Everywhere I go, I'll find a way to start some sort of book club. So I read A Thousand Splendid Suns and I was obsessed. And he is actually part of why I said I want to read more male authors this year. And I know like when I put that, some people are like, really want to read more? Listen, he crafted female voices and female characters in such a layered and realistic and thoughtful way, because I think why I tend to one of the things I should have mentioned is a lot of the books that I read, or most of the books I read, or sometimes some years all of the books that I've read have been written by women. I just don't gravitate towards, I just don't always care what men think. But A Thousand Splendid Suns, such a brilliant, brilliant story. Like, and also, and I think I said this in my workbook club, but you think about the time when it was published, 2007. Well, we're not so far removed from the Iraq, I'm not going to call it war, the Iraq, what do I call it? Just the US and the UK being their usual imperialist selves. We're not far removed from that. So to publish a story like that at that time where people still kind of looked at George Bush and Tony Blair somewhat
As
favorably and
saviors,
as saviors, that to me, it's not just that it's a well-written book, it's that it's a very brave story to tell and a necessary story to tell right off the back of what was done in Afghanistan. So loved. So that's my number three. Number four is, it's funny that none of these have been romances yet, but I do have a romance on here.
I
But
know, right?
I was just, but I feel like I talk so much about the romance. I want to talk about the other stuff. The other book that I would love to recommend is The Stone House by I want to say her name is Yara Hawari. Let me Google that. Yep. And it's basically following three generations of Palestinian of a Palestinian family, and talking and basically using their story to talk about the first Nakba and talk about everything that happened in Palestine. And it's a very short book. It's less than 200 pages long, so it's not a long one at all. But
okay.
It just did that whole vivid painting of history so well. But also, again, this thing of like giving voice to a perspective that is overlooked, or that people just, or that, you know, the mainstream media doesn't want to
talk
spotlight.
About.
It did it so, so well. So that's number four. And then number five is, I'm going to go with a graphic novel. It's a graphic novel. It is called If You'll Have Me by, I think her name is Eunie, Eunnie. I think that's how you pronounce it. I haven't talked about it on my page, and that's part of why I was like, no, I have to talk about it here. It's a love story about two girls. One of them is like super like inexperienced, and she's one of those people that always gets labeled cute. You're very cute, you're very cute. But it's like that label starts to feel really stifling after a while, and she ends up having feelings for this girl who is supposed to be a bit of a player. And it's just basically about them navigating all of that. But it was so, so cute, and the illustrations are so beautiful. So
wow,
I think that will be my.
I'm already sold on the premise right now.
Yeah,
it's
really
that.
Good.
Okay.
Really, really good. So that's my five. And then to talk about what I didn't enjoy. So I mentioned I read a thriller recently. So my second read of this year. And for anyone who's trying to do the math on that, listen, it is what it is. It took me two or three days to read it, so don't worry about it. I didn't read it overnight. Don't worry, you can rest easy. Housewoman by Adora Nwora.
Okay, before you go into your little bit, I actually did read this book, and I think I shared it.
Did you?
I can't remember one of my wrap ups, and
oh gosh, let me go have a look.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest, because
no.
I went into it being sold as someone gave it to me and said this is going to give you like Gone Girl vibes, and I was like wow, written by a Nigerian, okay,
people can lie, oh my god, sorry.
Let's go.
People can lie.
I was reading it, I was like, what is going on, like what. Okay, just continue first. Continue.
Okay. So the housewoman, sorry. So on a book tour for it, I need to post my review this Thursday. And I was trying to put into words what I thought about it, and I struggled. I struggled to really encapsulate the book, because it's a very strange book, and I don't mind strange.
It's the sad part. I actually like strange books.
I like strange books. Like one of the books last year that I did like, it wasn't a favorite, but I did really like, was like a book about a girl becoming a mermaid through like sewing her legs together. I read that last year. That was weird, wacky, but that was fine. That was fine. It was strange in a very distinctly uncomfortable way for a lot of the book. So because you read the book, you know the detail that gets mentioned about this particular person and the cheese, and the all
I
of
mean
that.
We don't want to give spoilers, but still,
I don't want to give spoilers, but
yeah,
someone likes, I'll just say someone likes cheese, to kind of throw people off, but I'm fine with like weird if I feel like there's going to be a payoff. And I feel like with this book, there was absolutely no payoff for almost anything, really. And someone said to me that it reads almost as if a man wrote it. And now that I think about that,
okay. I can see that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at first you want to be like, no, but actually, like, they're not wrong, because when I think about the characterization of the women in the book and how they were presented, and they didn't really have a lot to them. They didn't really have a lot of depth. Even the lead character who was supposed to, who I did feel sympathy for, just because I'm a normal person.
Oh, you did feel sympathy. I unfortunately was unable to feel sympathy for anybody in that book.
Oh,
I
no.
could not feel anything. There was nobody to feel sorry for. There was nobody to empathize with. There was nobody to root for. And for me, that's like a marker of, this book is not for you.
Yeah, no, it's not for me. And it's, and it also for me, it felt like the book had failed to, it felt like it tried to do a couple of different things at once. Like, it felt like it wanted to be a thriller, but it felt like it also wanted to provide like really thoughtful commentary about, around, you know, the way people from Nigeria are exploited when they come to the US, and the whole like the whole like failed American dream thing, where it's like, oh, you know, I thought my life was going to look this way, it looks totally different, it's hell, I want to go back home, home is actually better. It felt like it was and it felt like, had it done that, I would have been so much happier with it. But it just felt, the whole thing felt clumsily done. It just felt like, and it felt like a lot of things that were put into the book were done so in a very like thoughtless manner. I don't want, I have to use
ending?
That word.
What was that ending?
That ending was,
I don't,
it
I'm
was giving,
still depressed
there's still 100 pages
thinking
left.
About that ending. Like, why? Where's the rest of the book?
And do you know the other book that reminded me of that? The Three of Us. I don't know if you read The Three of Us last
okay,
year.
Okay. See, now The Three of Us, I am one of the few people who get where The Three of Us was going and was okay with what.
Okay. But I will say that, to me, that was a better book. That was going to be like one of my next statements, is that to me, as weird as that was, as weird as that was, as odd as it was, that to me was like a better book, because although, again, that ending didn't leave me with much, and it felt abrupt, and I was like, oh my god, no, it's so short, there has to be like, they're going to be a sequel, blah blah blah. I feel like this book just ultimately shows quite a shallow portrayal of everyone that's involved, of the American, Nigerian American mom who moved there, tries to forget her culture, tries to leave things behind. It shows
and then
a very,
all of a sudden there's a lot of spirituality going on.
The
it's almost like there was context lacking for most of the book.
That's what it felt like. And I said to my sister-in-law when I saw her yesterday, I said, because she's read it as well, I said, it feels like we were missing pages or missing whole chapters, because I was reading stuff and I was like, wait, how did we get here? Hold on, wait a minute. Like, she's bleeding and no one's like, he's reacting really, I don't see, I'm getting into spoilers, I hate giving spoilers, but like, it was just a lot of like, it felt like time jumps. It felt like they were like, you're like, wait, no, I know I'm
and
missing
I
page.
Really
and, oh,
don't like that. I don't like
I
that
don't like
at
that.
All.
I don't like that. I don't like that whole jarring reading feeling where it's like, huh? Like, wait, what? Like, I don't like books giving me whiplash, and I feel like this book did that a lot, because there was just a lot of crazy stuff that was casually thrown in, and then you're like, okay, I know this has to mean something. I know this will be linked into like, you know, the ending, or like a wider message about the book, or you know, it's foreshadowing, or it's going to give me something later on. And they just ended up being a lot of stuff that was just, huh,
yep.
Well, yep, that's it.
I don't like
it's
being
over
left
now.
With so many questions. It was just way
right.
too much.
So
and,
many,
I, and the
so
sad
many
part is
questions.
I really, really wanted to love this book, because we rarely get thrillers from Nigerian authors.
Oh,
We rarely get thrillers. But this one was just...
No, it was just
there was nothing I could say. Because like, how do I even describe... I can't even describe this book to... I feel like I would love to hear the author pitch it in like an elevator pitch.
Same. And that's why I'm laughing at someone calling it Gone Girl. Like, mate, like,
yeah,
did you read
I,
or
that was
Gone
what
Girl?
I saw. That was actually what I saw, and I was like, oh, okay, sold.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nope.
It
nope, nope,
didn't
nope.
work. It did not work.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't work at all. And it low key made me angry, even, because I was like, I'm flipping like I'm. It made me angry, but it also made me really, really honest. It made me really grateful that I didn't buy it with my own money because I would have been
You are right.
livid.
You are
I would have
right.
been livid if I spent
This is
$12.99 or
actually the best part of
$14.99.
Bookstagrammer. Because, like,
Oh
there's
my
books
Lord.
I read and I'm like,
You're like,
I'm glad
yeah,
this
no,
was
I'm
a review
glad.
copy.
No, it was, yeah, no. So that's a book that I read, and I and it's like you, like I had not like super high hopes, but I was like, oh, that sounds like this is really gonna be interesting, and it's gonna be like this well-crafted character at the heart of all this madness, and she's really intelligent, and she kind of like it, I almost started to write. I feel like I almost started to write the story myself, and it just
Oh,
fell so short of everything that I
sucks.
expected.
That really
So
sucks.
that,
Yeah,
yeah, that does.
I would
So
hate
wish me luck for this Thursday because I'm still trying to
it. I
figure
mean,
out.
I don't know how you're going to craft the review, but I'm looking forward to it. Like they
I'm
say, the
looking
Lord
forward
is your strength.
to it too. Amen. Because I don't I yeah, I have very little positives to say about it. Like what? Like
Same.
I'm struggling. Like right now I'm like, what did I like?
I know. I
I
think
liked
I was able to do a quick review because I'd already been drinking, so I was just able to go through exactly what I was going to do, like a full-on tipsy review of the book, but I felt like the things I would have said while under the influence would not have been nice. So I just kept it under a wrap-up, like a very short
Yeah.
4 minutes.
Yeah.
Talk
I
about,
read
yeah.
it. This is what it's about. I
Because
hope you
if
like
I
it.
had dissected that book, yeah.
No.
No.
Nope. No. It just it was a low key, like the way certain things was portrayed was low key, like even problematic. Like again,
Yes.
like the
Yes.
spirituality thing, I just felt like that wasn't handled
Yes.
with enough care. I don't know if the adequate amount of research was done on that aspect, because it just felt very. I feel like
Okay.
a good book should. Yeah, I feel like, and I also feel like a good book should allow you to make your own conclusions
Thank
about
you.
characters. And I feel like this didn't allow for that. It was like, oh, this lady, she's bad. She's there's blood on the carpet.
Oh,
She's a
spoilers. You're
oracle
dropping
person.
spoilers.
Okay, well. Anyway, it just didn't allow you to do that, and I felt like that was, yeah, I no,
Okay.
I maybe she should have done less. I don't know. Maybe she should have
Maybe less would
just
have
made
been.
it a straight up slasher. Maybe like, oh, this house girl's just gone
Yeah.
mad and she's
Less would
killing the
have
whole
been more.
family. Maybe
Maybe
that would have been,
if we took out the spirituality bit, I think. Yeah.
and the cheese bit as well. The cheese bit, if we
Yeah.
just left that, because that ended up just being, yeah. Anyway.
Oh God.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to yeah, I'm sorry to the author too. I'm so sorry. And
I'm
do you
so
know the sad
sorry.
part? This book was actually on one of my anticipated reads of 2023.
Really?
So I
Wow.
was like, the
Wow.
disappointment was like hard. I was very pained.
Yeah.
Okay, so while we are on this thread, I feel like I would like to ask you what you think about representation in books. Because, you know, sometimes people are always like, oh, I don't see myself in this book, like the way this particular character or this group of people are represented, this is not how it is. What do you think about representation in books? And I'm going to cite the examples of, say, like Wahala or Yinka Where Is Your
Huh,
Husband,
that's another one
since, you know,
that
Nigerian.
I hated. Yeah, I
I have to
hated
ask,
Wahala. I
what do you
hate, first of
think?
all, I will start by saying I hated Wahala. I
Okay.
hated
Okay.
it. And my review on Goodreads is one of my most liked reviews, and it's very short. It's not a long review. Hated Wahala, and it's unfortunate because I think the author still follows me. I haven't talked about it since, and I tried to be diplomatic in my review about it, but it just lacked so much nuance, and it just read like someone that doesn't really know much about Nigeria trying to write about Nigeria. And I just think sometimes, it's okay to write what you know, and if you don't know something, leave it for those who do. Like I don't mean to sound funny saying that, but like it just read very it just read very like not authentic, forced.
Yeah.
I feel like, as with regards to like representation, I feel like my thing is, although it's great to challenge yourself as a writer, although it's great to push the envelope where you can, sometimes it's okay to just write what you know, write what's familiar. So I feel like this author, the author of Wahala, maybe should have, I don't know, like, just
better research.
Yeah, better research, or try to write about experiences that are more lived in for you, like experiences that you, not saying you should only write experiences you personally have, but sometimes when you don't know something well, it is really, really obvious. And I feel like Wahala's that type of book for me. And I think the other thing about Wahala as well, without, I don't want to give spoilers, but it just felt like there was certain, it tried to do too much. Like, it felt like it was giving, again, I hate that term, but it felt like it was giving chick lit vibes for a lot of the book.
And personally, nowhere, it was giving caricature to me. As a Nigerian living in Nigeria, it was giving caricature. Yep.
Very, very much. And even as someone who hasn't lived in Nigeria for a long time, even to me, I was like, no, stop it, girl. Now you're joking. So it felt almost, I don't want to go as far as saying disrespectful, but it almost felt like you didn't treat subject matter
kindly.
Or subject matters kindly, and you didn't treat them with the reverence that they deserve. Because I feel like as an author, you should know that, you know, your words literally have power. And
they do.
I feel like you should be conscious of the book that you're writing, what it's going to add to the social commentary, what it's going to add to like the way people talk about things or the way people see certain things. And I just felt like she was writing a lot of stuff she didn't necessarily know.
It felt like, you know, Google Nigeria.
Yeah.
Google, and then stuff that comes up in the news.
Five hot spots in Lekki, five restaurants in Lekki, five things Nigerians do on the weekend, five common relationship woes in Nigerian friendships. What do Nigerians like to... It just felt very Google. And feed it into a book. And I hated Wahala. I could have been a lot more scathing in my review. But again, if that one is... I didn't buy the book. So let me say that I didn't love it, but let me not necessarily tell people, oh, don't buy it, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. But representation, when it's done well, you have a homegoing-esque situation where it's so vibrant and it interacts with different parts of the culture, of whatever culture it's trying to portray, and it does it in a very true, respectful way. But I also think part of why homegoing is so powerful is because it's that author's country, and it's what she knows, and it's what she was yearning for herself. She's yearning for, you know, more stories about Ghanaian heritage and Ghanaian history. So it's beautiful because she loved what she was writing about. But what I think is happening a lot of the time, especially these days, especially even, and it's gotten worse since Wahala, is I feel like authors are being given tropes to write around. And it's like one bed. So if you're talking about romance, one bed scene, best friends, brother's best friend. What else? Forced proximity. And you're not thinking about the story. You're not giving the depth. You're just trying to deliver on these items.
We need to get back to the art of storytelling. That's true.
We need to. And the thing is, the authors, and when I'm conscious of our time, sorry, but like when I think about the way I read romance and the authors that speak to me, because I've read so much romance, without sounding funny, I know what a good romance book looks like. Like, I really do. And you can tell very early on, even. You can tell where someone has tried to give depth to the characters and give depth to their backgrounds, and they make them feel like real, whole, three-dimensional people. And then you can tell where someone just has tropes, and someone just wants to appeal to TikTok, and someone just... Do you know what I mean? Like, you can tell, and there's nothing wrong with being commercially minded. There's nothing wrong with being like, this is what people want to see more of. But you still need to be mindful of the story at the heart of you still need to be mindful of the story, because that's literally what you're doing. That's like the first job, like that's the ultimate goal. So I don't even know if I've answered your question about representation, but I think representation has to be authentic, and it cannot just be representation for the sake of representation.
Yes,
so
you did you did answer that. And when you were talking
sorry
about
in a long way
no when you were talking about tropes, I remembered, I can't remember the author, but there's this one who has publicly, who everybody knows that her agent actually gives her trope to
Ali
write
Hazelwood, because
around.
she's one of my
Yeah,
least
Hazelwood.
Favorite.
God will honor you.
Ali
Hazelwood. Yeah, her. And it actually pains me. It pains me.
It pains that woman. I don't, let me know. Let me chill. But
yeah,
she's literally,
let's not
she's
sound like
literally.
We're being witch hunters.
No, but it's, she, So the first book, I actually read the first book. It was
Same.
Okay.
Same.
It was okay. I honestly did like it. It didn't change my life, but it was fun. It was like a
it
little
was
fun,
fun.
Light
It was a
read.
fun read. Yes.
But when I read the second, they sent me an arc of the second one, and I read it, and I was like, mate, this is the same
It's
book.
literally the
You've
same
just
book.
changed the character's hair length
I got the
and
second
nose
book on
shape.
Libro FM. I was like, this is literally the
Same
same
book.
thing I read.
How are you doing this? It's the same
Like, how
book.
is this
Like,
allowed?
I
so
was like,
is it that all
you're
we need
playing
is
in
a
our
template
faces.
to write a book?
Right. Tall boy, small girl, STEM. That's it. That's a Ali Hazelwood book. Tall
Oh
boy,
well.
small girl, and STEM. And again, it's sad because, you know, writing about women in STEM is actually a really great concept, and it's something that, you know, needs to be talked about more. And I that's why I like the first book, but especially when she said that, I was like, now I know why it
I
felt like
can
the same
understand where
again
it's all coming from.
in book two. Yeah, now I know why I felt like I was being mocked
Oh,
and my
gosh.
intelligence was being insulted, because you're literally taking the tropes that agent, whatever your agent's name is, sent you that week and was just like, right, let me work this in.
Yeah,
And
like, this
that's
is what is in the
insulting.
market. You should just write around
Yeah,
that.
it's
It
insulting.
actually
And
sucks. It
it
sucks.
sucks, and it's sad because there are so many. And again, like, one of the I'm talking about my reading goals for the year, like, as far as romance, like, I do want to read more independent authors, because the authors in the independent space do amazing, well crafted stories. You know, it almost feels like, because they know they have something to prove, they really try to deliver. Because Kennedy Ryan was independent until like last year, and she's been a
Oh,
favorite of mine
wow.
for years.
Oh.
Yeah, so she was from that space, and that's why even now she still tries to like uplift other independent authors, because like, look,
Nice.
this person's
Nice.
doing great. So people like Ali Hazelwood just
They disrupt the system. Yeah,
they do, and
cool.
I know everything has its place. Like, I know in life, listen, you need variety in life. You need Fast and Furious, and you need the more highbrow movies. Like, I know everything has its place. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it doesn't, but it just, when I think about the authors that I know that are working really hard on their craft and working really hard to get published and get picked up by a publisher, and then you have someone saying, yeah, my publisher sent me a couple of keywords and I put the story together around that.
Ideas
that's
need.
yeah yeah so yeah no it that really pissed me off, I'm sorry to say, but yeah.
Yeah,
Anyway.
I do feel the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. So that we don't give these people more airtime. Again, back
Yep.
to you, Anita the reader.
Yep. Yep.
What would you want more from in your reading life? General. Yeah, I know it's very vague, but like,
No,
you know.
it's not. It's not
Okay.
actually.
Okay.
I think about, I feel like we all think about this stuff, but like, I've kind of touched on it. I want to read more male authors.
Okay.
Most likely POC male authors. Let me be very frank, because I think that's an important distinction to be made, because yeah, I think that's an important
I
distinction
mean,
to be
I'm
made.
intentionally
More.
doing that. I have a whole
Yeah.
one male author challenge I have going on Storygraph.
Really?
A personal
Oh,
challenge.
okay.
I didn't make that open. That's just a me thing. just so I can track that I'm reading at least one male author a month,
I
at
think that's a
least.
good one. I
Yeah.
think that's a good one. So I think more of that. I think I do want to read a little bit more nonfiction. Like, I know it's not my favorite, but I feel like I owe it to the books that are just staring at me right now to at
Do
least
you
give
have
them a
memoirs
try.
on there? On
I
the
have
list of
memoirs.
you.
I have
Okay.
I have a lot of celebrity ones. I have Britney's one. I have the lady from Crazy Rich Asians, Constance Wu. I have hers. I have like a couple of other
Okay.
like, talking about like
I mean,
intersectional
the Constance
feminism and
Wu one, the Constance Wu one, I did get the audiobook on Libro FM, so we can body read
okay.
that whenever you're
I
ready.
would love, please, please, like, and hold me accountable because it's just been there. Like, I could literally send you the link to the post where I was like, yay, a new book. And I was like, yeah, I'll try and
Yeah.
read it this month. And that was almost 2 years ago. So,
Okay.
please, honestly, hold me accountable. So I definitely want to
Okay.
read more nonfiction. I want to continue to read like beyond my horizons. Like, I want to read more diverse fiction. I want to read more. Like, I know I love African authored fiction. I love Asian authored fiction, but I want to see what else is out there. How can I continue to like diversify what I'm reading? I want to read older books as well. I want to read more from my shelf. I did, unfortunately, I did go through and mark a lot of like 2024 releases as want to read on Goodreads, but I'm not going to buy them
Okay.
now. So I'm not gonna pre-order anything. I'm gonna stop myself from pre-ordering because what I used to do as well is like a lot of pre-orders, and then you're like, oh, that doesn't even count because that was in the past. I ordered this book in Jan, it's June, it doesn't count. It's not really a new book. No, it still counts. So I want to read more from what I have. Because I was talking to someone the
That's
other
good.
day, and I was talking to someone the other day about like the privilege of like owning books and having like a personal library. Because when I was young, I could not have imagined having just casually having 200 and something, 300 books lying around in front of me in like a
Yes.
nice little shelf. You know what I mean? So it's like when we get older, we take these things for granted. But it's like actually young me would have been like, oh my God, like I want to stay in. I just want to read. I want to read what I have. I don't need any more. Thank you. I'm fine. I don't need any more. So do you know what I mean? There's like the
True.
consumerist mindset where it's like, oh, I want to get more books. I want to get more books. So just reading, intentionally reading more from what I actually have. That's a goal this year for sure.
That's
So
why
yeah.
I added it as a bonus for this year's Something Bookish Reading Challenge. Like,
Yeah.
if you could just find
Yeah.
books in your TBR, because younger
Yeah.
me would look at my bookshelf and be like, oh my God,
Be
wow,
amazed,
the
amazed. Yeah, exactly. But older you is like, yeah, but I can still get 10 more new ones. And it's like, no, it's like actually appreciate, be mindful of how you consume, be mindful of how you read, and yeah. So yeah.
Okay, that's really good. I'm embracing more library books this year, because since I got my Libby, I have been hunting for library cards like crack. Like,
Oh
oh,
my
you're
gosh.
abroad, do you have a library card? Do you have a library card? If you don't have a library card, go get a library card.
Honestly,
I have been stalking people.
I tried the library, but I feel like I personally need to tackle my library because what I was doing was I would get the library books, I'd get like four, and I would get stressed out because it's like the due date coming up, the due date, extend, extend,
Right.
extend. So yeah, so I need to
I'm
tackle.
one of those people who is good under pressure. So like when it starts
Ah,
saying you have
okay.
4 days to due date, I'm like, okay, time to listen,
Yeah.
time to read
Oh
up.
my gosh. I wish I was the same. I literally wish I was the same.
I
Yeah.
do thrive under pressure. So I look forward to, sometimes I'm like, oh, when I see you have 20, this book is in your possession for like 21 days, I'm like, okay, that's like 3 weeks. I would cover it. And then all of a sudden, like
Yeah.
4 days to due date. Whoa. Time to read up. Oh, well. I'm a
Yeah.
fast reader. I should not be complaining. I just get distracted a lot.
Same. I get distracted by other books, and yeah. So,
And
yeah,
I
I'm the
did
same.
say somebody, I must have said it in one of my states when I was so completely, I was very wise because of what I was drinking that day. But it was someone who listened to the podcast and said, well, You did say that if you were in the mood when you bought it, you should be in the mood when it's time to read it.
True. That's a very, that's
not
something
all the time
I will keep
be saying
that.
Mood reader.
Right, not every day, because that mood reading is killing, is killing some of us.
Yeah,
me,
we do say
me
that a lot,
one.
But it's just an excuse, because yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I feel like this has been like the longest reader book chat I've had on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And
it's because
was
I talk
so
too much.
Interesting. And we actually have to continue this like
No, we do.
Outside the podcast, because
we definitely do.
I
yeah,
do enjoy
no, this
talking
was lovely.
With you.
I do as well. And okay. I my thing is I enjoy talking, period. So that's why I think that's part of why when you asked me at first I was like, can I, like, am I gonna be nervous? And then I was like to myself, I was like, girl, you love to talk, so just say
no,
yes.
It's true, because
So
I've noticed when you do get readers to talk about books, it's like all of a sudden
yeah, oh
nobody's an
my
introvert
gosh,
anymore.
nobody's introverted anymore.
Everybody's
All of a
ready to give a
sudden,
TED talk.
yep, a whole 30-slide presentation ready to go. So yeah,
yeah.
I get it.
Okay, all right, we'll definitely do that Constance will body read
yes
later,
please, seriously,
maybe February.
Yeah.
I would
because it's
catch
crying
up
on
with
my
you.
shelf. Yeah, it's
Mm-hmm.
crying on my shelf. So I need to fix that ASAP.
Oh my god, this has been so
Oh,
much fun. Thank you for
so
talking
much fun.
with me.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me and for listening to me. This is literally like my dream. It's like talking at someone about books and them actually listening and not being like, yeah, I've got to go now. Someone's calling me. So this is
goodness.
Perfect. So
yeah, because
thank you.
I will just keep going on. It's just sometimes I'm like, I'm pitying the listener, like, okay, you
I
have been
know.
listening
They're
to the
like,
podcast for a while now. Maybe you want to listen to something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you
Oh.
should where can readers catch you? What's your handle? This is your time to plug in.
Oh gosh, yeah. My handle, which I hate saying, is Books in Her Hands I am on TikTok as well, but mostly on Instagram. I should post something to TikTok at some point, but that I can't
You
commit to
and me
that. So
both.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't like being on there at times. Like, it's so, someone was saying it's because of the whole QVCification of TikTok, where it's like, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. That makes me, yeah, that makes me not love it as much as I used to. But yeah.
I think I'm just going to use TikTok maybe this year to do random thoughts. I'm going to try to not overthink it.
Yeah, that's a good, I think that's a good way to
yeah.
do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we
I
both.
Think so.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
okay.
coming on Bookish Podcast.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
That's it, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have. And you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at Lipgloss Mafia. That's LipglossMafia. Subscribe now or follow so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is available on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoyed this podcast, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, rate and leave a review. It really helps new listeners find the show. And you know, shares and reviews are my love language. Yay! Thanks in advance. I appreciate it and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye!